First reading is taken from Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The second reading is from John 6, verses 16 to 24. Jesus walks on the water. When evening came, his disciples went down to the lake, where they got into a boat and set off across the lake for Capernaum. By now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. A strong wind was blowing and the waters grew rough. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened. But he said to them, "It is I, don't be afraid." Then they were willing to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat reached the shore where they were heading. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with his disciples, but that they had gone away alone. Then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I want to add my welcome to everybody here and a big welcome to everybody that is joining us online. For those of you that don't know me, my name's Karen. I worship here with my family and I have done since I was a baby. kind of going a little bit full circle, but yeah, it's really lovely to be here. So just to be totally honest, this is me stepping out in faith. This is not something I ever expected to do. Do I thank Rob? Yes, I want to thank Rob for his encouragement, for asking me and challenging me to step into something new. And I am excited because I believe that God's got quite a lot that he wants to say to us today. So I think before we go any further, I should just pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are here with us. Father, open our hearts and our minds to receive what it is that you want to say today. And please take these words and what's been prepared and anoint them and use them for your glory so that we can encounter you. Amen. If you don't have access to a Bible, don't be embarrassed. There's some at the back. If you want to grab one, that's absolutely fine, because I am going to be referring to the scriptures quite a lot, and I like to follow it, but it's totally up to you. What I want to do before we sort of delve into the passage is I just want to do a quick recap of where we are in John's Gospel so that we all understand where this miracle, Jesus walking on the water, actually fits. So we know that Jesus is active in his ministry. He's been going around doing his teaching and he's attracting huge crowds. He's also been performing miracles, which is helping people to understand a little bit more of who he is. And this miracle, the walking on water, takes place the night after they have fed 5,000. And it tells us, the verse before we come into the miracle, that Jesus, the people were wanting to force Jesus to be king, and he had slipped away up into the hills to spend some time alone. Now, spending time alone with God was a real important priority for Jesus. He made room in his busy schedule to spend time with the Father. So we know that Jesus is off spending time alone, and we join John chapter 6, verse 16. And we know, so what are the scriptures telling us? Well, they're telling us that it's the evening, and the disciples are waiting on the shore for Jesus. But he hadn't come back. So they get into the boats and head across the lake towards Capernaum. Now, Capernaum is on the north shore of the Sea of Galilee, and I don't know if you're aware, it's significant in Scripture because it's the chosen home. Quite a lot of the disciples lived there, and Jesus lived there at times during his ministry, and a lot of the miracles took place there. So this is important. It's an important place. They know this area well. But Mark and Matthew in the Gospels give us a little bit more information. They tell us that Jesus insisted that the disciples got into the boats and head across the lake. So we know that the disciples are doing what Jesus has asked them to do. They're where Jesus wants them. The disciples, as we know, many of them are fishermen. So maybe I'm wrong, but you assume that it's second nature to them being in a boat and that they're pretty comfortable in a boat on the water. Something I'm not, but anyway, that's a different story. It's night time. Darkness has fallen, and the disciples are about 3 to 4 miles offshore. So if you want to picture that, that's from about here to Isham, and the scriptures tell us they're rowing. Now, have you ever rowed? It's hard work. Don't forget, they've had a day where they've done this miracle. They're going to be really tired. And then verse 18, if you're following it, soon a gale swept down from upon them, and the sea grew very rough. Now, the scriptures have told us that the disciples are being obedient. They're following Jesus' instructions. The disciples may have experienced smooth sailing. That's what they may have been expecting. But instead, it appears that they're being sent directly into this storm. We know the disciples are in trouble. They're scared. They're tired. It's dark. I can picture them clinging on to this boat. And suddenly they see this figure walking towards them on the water, coming towards them in the boat. Now we know that the disciples had heard Jesus' teaching. They'd walked next to him. Jesus had chosen them. They'd seen him perform miracles. They'd just helped him feed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes and had baskets of food left over. It's got to be pretty mind-blowing. But Matthew reveals that even the disciples still needed some work in deepening their faith. They didn't recognize Jesus. John 19 tells us they were terrified. Mark 49 tells us they cried out in terror. They thought this was a ghost. They are petrified. This is a seriously frightening experience for the disciples. So I wonder why, because scriptures tells us Jesus saw them from the shore. If Jesus knows that the disciples are in serious trouble, why did he not just calm the gales and the storm? Have you ever wondered? After all, these are experienced fishermen. They know the dangers. They don't need help with the boat. It's the circumstances that terrify them. Scripture reveals that the disciples had to wait. This is a life-changing moment for them. Sometimes waiting on the Lord is the hardest part of trusting, and it's our greatest challenge in learning. We want things done a certain way, but Jesus sees things we don't, and he has a greater plan. You see, Jesus is using this moment, this life-changing experience, for the benefit of the disciples. On this occasion, there's no crowds. Mark's gospel tells us very clearly that the disciples did not understand the significance of the miracle of the loaves. The disciples' hearts were still too hard to take it in. The disciples' disbelief took the place of misunderstanding. But Jesus, through his compassion and love, was helping the disciples to deepen their faith. And it's the same for us. Do we miss who Jesus really is? Do we need a reminder or a significant moment in our lives where God uses circumstances to test our faith? It's clear in the scriptures there are times when God tests us. He allows us to get into situations where we have to make a choice, where we need to persevere, where we discover the truth. You see, God loves us and he wants us to succeed. When he tests us, his purpose is to prove to us that his faith in him is real, that we are his children, and to help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of him. It's the process of making us more like Jesus. John verse 20, Jesus called out to them, "Don't be afraid, I am here." "Do not be afraid" is the most repeated command in the Bible. God is aware of our tendency to fear. He cares about every fear we face. You see, fear impacts us. It stops us doing things. It holds us back. God doesn't want us consumed by fear. He will even help us to overcome our fear if we allow him. The disciples were not expecting Jesus to come. They weren't prepared for help. Jesus called out to them, verse 20. The disciples heard him speak. Even in the gales, even under the toughest of conditions, even when they're scared, the disciples recognized and heard Jesus speak. Can you hear when God speaks? Do you spend time listening? It's not always easy. We often doubt ourselves. If you struggle to hear God, or you've never heard God speak, be reassured. Sometimes it can take practice. But don't give up trying. Jesus wants you to hear him. How did the disciples respond when they heard Jesus call? Verse 21. The disciples responded eagerly by letting him into the boat. Are we eager to respond when Jesus calls to us? The reading tells us that they were then immediately at their destination. Now, we just need to pause and imagine this for this minute. In this moment, this is a mind-blowing, pinch-yourself moment. The disciples are petrified in the boat. Jesus walks on water. The minute he gets in the boat, the waves and the gales calm, and it tells us they are immediately at their destination. The Bible has already told us they were 3.5 miles offshore, but they're where they needed to be. This is almost a hidden miracle. It's like a 3-in-1, which on our 3-in-1 day is actually really quite appropriate. Jesus, fully God, goes to the disciples in their time of need, and he reveals who he truly is. You see, I wasn't aware of this, but Matthew's gospel tells us that in this moment, the disciples realized that this was the Son of God and they fell down and worshipped him. The revelation of Jesus walking on water more than any other miracle convinces the disciple that this is surely the Son of God. Jesus demonstrating his ability to command the elements is something that only God can do. You see, John's gospel account encourages us to notice Jesus at work in our lives, to have faith in Jesus even when times are hard or we're in trouble. And we encourage one another, don't we? I love the testimonies that people are brave enough to get up and share week after week, sometimes when times are really difficult, because it encourages us to keep going. John's gospel reminds us that Jesus will always be with us, and it confirms that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, Jesus spotted the disciples from on the shore, and he knew they were in trouble, and he went to be with them, and he does that for us today. Trusting God in all circumstances is often easy to say, but do we really do this? When we are confronted with something outside our previous experience, we're naturally afraid. Do we turn to Jesus, or do we rely on our own strengths and instincts? There's a challenge here for us this morning. Do we fully rely on Jesus? Because he's asking you to. When you think of walking on water, do you instantly think of Peter? I know I do when people talk of walking on water. Matthew, interestingly, is the only gospel that mentions Peter's remarkable experience of walking on water. But what stands out about Peter is his willingness to risk failure. You see, he recognised God in that moment. He sought Jesus' agreement. He didn't get out the boat without asking Jesus first. Lord, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come. And in that moment, Peter joined Jesus and walked on water. How encouraging and challenging I find this. If Peter, bless him, known for his weaknesses more often than his strengths, steps out the boat and walks on water, so can we. How I imagine that Peter recalled that moment during his life, and what an encouragement to Peter's faith that moment in his journey of faith was. You see, he was the only one in the boat, the only disciple that we are told about that steps out and joins Jesus on the water. Peter didn't ask for a guarantee, he asked for an opportunity. Why did he step out the boat? After all, we know that the conditions were very risky. He stepped out because it's where Jesus is. We also learn something from Peter that's important to us with our walk for Jesus. Whether Peter sank or walked on water depended on Peter's focus. Verse 30 in Matthew tells us that when he was distracted and he saw the strong winds and the waves, he was terrified and he began to sink. We can start out with good intentions. Sometimes our faith falters. This doesn't mean we've failed. Peter called to Jesus, "Save me, Lord." And immediately the Bible tells us that Jesus reached and grabbed him. You see, Peter reached out to the only one who could help him. He was afraid, but still he looked to Jesus. It's essential to remember that Jesus is always with us, and he will respond when we call. We've already prayed for this, but we all have times in life when it's difficult. Pressures, anxiety, lack of time, grief, hardship, illness. God will sometimes send us into situations that we find very difficult or unknown. If we focus on the difficult circumstances, if we let what's going on around us consume us, if our focus on Jesus drifts, we too may begin to despair, feel lost, scared, or just not expect Jesus to come into that situation. John Orbsman, in his book, If You Want to Walk on Water, You Need to Get Out the Boat, tells us walking on water is doing with God's help what we could never accomplish on our own. If we think about it, if we don't step out the boat and seek God's help, there is a guaranteed certainty we will never walk on water. The invitation to come is for all of us. Whilst the disciples were in the boat, they were making slow progress. But when Jesus appeared and joined them, everything changed. Responding when Jesus calls takes a step of faith, especially as he will often challenge us to step outside our comfort zones, as I can certainly testify this morning. Scripture reminds us that Jesus is loving and cares for us. But please be reassured, because if you're struggling, if you feel like you're in the storm, if you are hanging on by your fingertips, the Bible has shown us that Jesus will come and get in the boat with you if you allow him. Last week, Patrick reminded us at Pentecost of what a powerful God we serve. The reminder to us that the Holy Spirit is here with us, and that faith without the Holy Spirit is just religion. You see, Holy Spirit encounters change us. My own experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it equips me, it helps me, it often leaves me wanting more. It helps me to achieve the unexpected. But we have to take that step of faith and trust and invite Jesus in. You see, the great and incredible news is that the same power in Jesus that helped Peter walk on water is alive and with us today. The Holy Spirit is here and available to you. It's wanting to transform lives, to break through struggles, to give strength to the weary, to equip us to go deeper in our relationship with Jesus and to build up the kingdom. There has been a real sense in church over the last few weeks of turning back to Jesus, of fixing our eyes on him, of spending more time with Jesus and being spirit-filled. You see, scripture is God-breathed. And in the first reading that we had, Hebrews 12, verse 2, it encourages us to be constant, to persevere. The Christian life involves hard work. It requires us to give up what endangers our relationship with God. And with the power of the Holy Spirit, live effectively when we fix our eyes on Jesus. A challenge, I think, for all of us to take up over the coming weeks. You see, encountering Jesus is a tangible way that allows us to realise how much we have to learn. If we are serious about following Jesus, then we should not settle for anything less than Jesus has planned for us. He wants us all to know the joy, the blessing, and the acceptance he offers when we are walking in things that once seemed impossible. So what does this mean for us this morning? Well, the challenge to each one of us is, do we fully rely on Jesus? Do we seek Jesus in everything we do and fix our eyes on him so we don't start to sink? Like Peter, are you willing to step out where Jesus is? I know that that's what my heart desires. Sometimes it's harder, but maybe it's worth the step of faith. You see, Jesus has all we need. Are we ready to receive it? I want to encourage you, no matter where you are in your walk with Jesus, he wants you to know that he loves you and that you're important to him. After all, Jesus died for each one of us to live a life of fullness and to have the chance to follow him. He is calling us this morning to step out in faith and be prepared to follow him wherever this takes us. Are we ready? This could be your greatest adventure with Jesus yet. Jesus says, come. Amen.